Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
When heavy rains hit much of Monroe and Lucas counties, that water flows into southeastern Marion County. That's why Marion County is involved in planning with the South Central Iowa Cedar Creek Watershed Management Authority. Let's go in depth with Linda Shumate, Monroe County Soil and Water Conservation District Watershed Coordinator for the Natural Resources Conservation Service. Linda, what's the Cedar Creek Water Management Authority?
The Watershed Management Authority, or the WMA is what it's known as, is an organization, a working agreement between several different counties. In our particular organization is five counties, Lucas County, Appanoose County, Monroe County, Marion County, and Mahaska County. And this organization just has a working agreement, which is also called a 28E agreement, that is filed with the state of Iowa, that basically is a group that will get together to help determine different issues that they're having within a watershed.
Okay, and so the Cedar Creek Watershed, that covers, like you said, all those counties, but it looks like about 80% of Monroe County, maybe a third of Lucas County, just a little bit in Mahaska and Appanoose, but then the entire southeast, well, and south central part of Marion County.
Yes. The watershed is around 269,000 acres, and about 55% of it actually lies in Monroe County. There is a roughly around 54,000 acres or so in Lucas County and about 66,000 acres in Marion County. So Monroe County has around 140-some-thousand acres. So with the watershed being that large, we're trying to reach out to the other counties to be able to work together in solving the issues that everyone is having, not just in one particular county.
Right. And what happens in, let's say, Monroe and Lucas County and Appanoose County, part of Appanoose County, really impacts the people in the landscape in Marion County and in Mahaska County.
Yes. In retrospect of how most people think water flows, everyone thinks it flows south, but theoretically, it actually follows the lay of the land. So the topography of the ground is what determines how it determines on which way it's going to flow. In this particular watershed, the water's flowing north, and it flows toward Bussey and toward Tracy and outlets at the Des Moines River.
Okay, and so all the flooding around Bussey and Tracy, it's starting
from the south.
Yep. Yeah. All right, and so what are the purposes of the organization then?
The organization is where we are able to work together in trying to create public awareness. We want those in the watershed to realize that we're trying to get this project running, up and running, where we're going to eventually be able to offer conservation cost share practices to landowners and producers out in the watershed to put conservation practices on the ground that will help alleviate some of the flooding and erosion problems that we're having. So we're working together with all of the different counties to come up with different ideas and different ways to solve these issues that we're seeing out in the county, and it's just trying to get everyone working together in the whole scheme of the whole watershed, not just one particular county.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. County borders are arbitrary, and I mean, with respect to watersheds, no county border hits watersheds accurately, and so you need that interagency cooperation.
Correct.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with Linda Shumate, Monroe County Soil and Water Conservation District Watershed Coordinator for the Natural Resource Conservation Service. Where's the source of funding going to come from?
Well, with the 28E agreement, most agreements are actually nonprofit organizations. And so right now we are working on donations and contributions that businesses and landowners have actually been willing to help us with. And so that's what our organization is operating on right now. And what that money is going toward is helping us to show we have matching grant support when we're writing grants for some of the different projects that we're trying to work with.
I'm guessing a lot of farm interest groups cooperate and help.
We're trying to get the word out to as many folks as we can right now. There's not very many that are familiar enough with what the WMA is doing and what we're trying to get established. But the more people that become aware of it, we're hoping that more people might contribute, whether it's volunteer, whether it's financially contribute to the organization. But right now it's basic public awareness, because a lot of people don't realize that there is a need out there in order for us to continue with this project. There's a need of help in any possible form.
How long has the group been together?
We actually formed the WMA August 13th of 2015. So it's only been in operation for almost a year now.
Okay, but that's like no time.
No time at all, no. The WMAs are fairly new to Iowa. There is several in the state. There's actually around 15 in the state now, but they're still fairly new, where several entities such as IDOLS and NRCS and the DNR, they all started trying to get local districts to work together to try to develop watershed management authorities in order to be able to address some of the issues that they're having locally.
Well, doing this by watershed just makes too much sense. I mean, why did we wait till 2015 to do that?
Well, there has been other attempts to actually start something in the watershed. Unfortunately, everyone was trying to address the problems by counties themselves. So I know back in the 40s, Monroe County tried to establish a Cedar Creek project around the Georgetown area, and that did not go very well for them in terms of funding. They tried to apply for different funds back at that time, but they were not eligible through federal funding, through different reasons, for the railroad coming through or the land ratio between uplands versus bottomlands. And so things like that didn't make them eligible for different grants. So then their group just basically dissolved. But in terms of when one particular county is trying to address the watershed problems, with it being so large that it's basically trying to put a Band-Aid on it if you're working in just one area. Because since the watershed is so large, if we were to work on it in just Monroe County, that's like putting a Band-Aid on it, because it's never going to hold up, because you still have all of the headwaters coming in from Lucas County. And vice versa, like Marion County, if they were to start working on something down there, they might see some benefits for a while, but then usually they don't hold up, because they still have all of those headwaters still coming into their counties. So it never is going to be successful when each county tries to address it themselves. But when you try to keep everybody together with this particular organization working together, and everybody knows the main cause and knows what we need to do in terms of like a management plan, we can follow that plan and start addressing the area as a whole and not just specific areas in terms of the counties. So hopefully in time we'll see more of a benefit and more actual relief from flooding and erosion.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Linda Shoemate, Monroe County Soil and Water Conservation District Watershed Coordinator for the Natural Resource Conservation Service. What was interesting to me, we were talking, and for those of us that live in Marion County, we're used to the creeks being full, Cedar Creek being, you know, having a lot of water in it. Mm-hmm. But, and I guess I hadn't thought a lot about what these waterways look like in Monroe and Lucas counties in Appanoose, but you were telling me that unless it's raining, a lot of what turn into creeks are dry.
Correct. Most of the watershed is not just one main branch that you would think of. It's a lot of little tributaries going into the main branch. So you have a lot of side hills that will form a tributary that will go down into the main creek. Well, all of that water there's enough acres that go into those little tributaries of drainage that those cause its own problems in flooding. So when you have several different tributaries coming into the main channel, you have all of that water starting to localize then in particular areas, and then that's when you see the flooding. So the more drainage, you have more flooding issues.
I guess it's a two-pronged problem then. As the water comes off too fast, so does the soil.
Correct. When you have water that is coming down really fast with a certain rain event, that tends to loosen a lot of the soil and takes it down the hill with it. And so unless you're able to secure the soil in place on the hills, when you have a hard rain, it tends to take the soil down the hill with it. And then it enters into your tributaries, which then can enter the main creek.
Okay, so you want to reduce that sediment coming down. And then that improves the water quality too, lessens the risk of flooding.
Yes.
All right, and so part of this is to educate farmers and the public. I bet farmers are pretty educated on this stuff already, aren't they?
The majority of them are. They realize that there is an issue out there with water quality, and they do realize that they're doing their best in conservation practices to be able to keep that soil on their farms, because they don't want it going down the stream affecting water quality. They'd rather keep it on their fields where it needs to be. So a lot of them are aware of this issue. They are working very hard to try to, you know, resolve it as much as they can. Unfortunately, it's very expensive to try to do that. And so a lot of the farmers are trying to seek out some type of assistance just to be able to do so, because it is very expensive to put in your terraces and your basins and things like that. And the community that lives in town may not realize that it costs a lot of money to put these structures in that would help slow down the erosion, but someone has to pay for it, and it's all the farmer that is trying to pocket this, and it gets very costly. And that's where they then turn to the NRCS offices and the Soil Water Conservation District offices and Department of Ag Stewardship for assistance in trying to do so.
Okay, and you help coordinate those efforts for a farmer. You'll provide farmers the information on how to go through this process.
Yes. Usually the landowner or the farmer will contact us and request us to come out and take a look at different issues that they're having on their ground, whether it's ditches that they're seeing that are developing from hills that are having too much runoff, or if it's different things where they need assistance in grazing management for cattle or something like that. They would come into the office and ask us for our expertise in trying to determine different ways to help resolve their issues that they're having out there. So once they come into the office, we usually go out and meet with the landowners and the producers and determine the best management plan that would help them, and then help them apply for cost share dollars to do so.
Well, this whole area that we're talking about, too, it's, you know, some of the best wildlife in the state. I mean, these efforts are also helping, I don't know, you know, the efforts to conserve our natural heritage, the recreation associated with the deer hunting, the pheasant hunting. That all ties together, too, right?
Yes. The wildlife habitat is always increased when you're putting on conservation practices out in the out on the landscape. When you're installing CRP practices, which is Conservation Reserve Program, where you set aside a portion of farm ground and establish it into grasses or trees, that all becomes habitat then for wildlife, which then increases, you know, your opportunities to be able to bird watch or to deer hunt or things like that.
Now, what are the most important things for farmers that you think the farmers in the Cedar Creek watershed need to know right now?
We would like everyone to basically just work together in trying to improve conservation on their farm. We would like them to help the Watershed Management Authority, which our particular Watershed Management Authority is called the South Central Iowa Cedar Creek Watershed Management Authority. If they could help our WMA in terms of assistance where we're able to go out and walk the stream channels and to find out what issues we're having within the stream so we can better, better resolve these problems and better figure out what we can do to help them slow down the erosion problems and stuff like that. So we want everybody to help the WMA, but yet work together so we can, all start addressing these problems.
And what does the public need to know?
Everyone is in this watershed together. It's not just the farmers that contribute to water quality. It's everyone in the watershed that contributes to water quality. So it's not just dirt and sediment that goes down the hill that affects water quality. You have people that are not aware of different pharmaceuticals or different chemicals that they have in town even, and they will go out and they will dump it on their street. Well, they think it all goes to the city sewer system in the city lagoon where it's treated. It is not. A lot of the streets are actually just run straight off into a storm system. And the storm drains then actually are outletted directly to your creeks and your main tributaries to main channels. So we want the public to understand that they too are responsible for our water quality. You see a lot of people that will go and dump trash into creeks over the bridges and stuff. They will take their trash and they just throw it over the side of the bank. They will throw old couches. Those types of things need to stop in order for water quality to improve. It's not just the farmer's responsibility, it's also those that are contributing to pollution out there in the streams. And so once the public is aware of everything that can possibly pollute and create our water quality problems, then the more we'll be able to start decreasing those problems.
Thanks to Linda Shumate for contributing to the program. For KNIA, KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.